On a busy street corner in the uptown area of Dallas, 60-year-old Saul Villasana sees more than the pricey condo developments and trendy shops.
I mean, I can still see the house here. It's now occupied by uptown self-storage.
Villasana sees the small, modest house where he grew up and the neighborhood that was known as Little Mexico. Little Mexico was a destination for immigrants like Villasana's grandfather, who arrived in the early 1900s as they fled the Mexican Revolution. Their children and children's children remained, often working in the nearby slaughterhouses and industrial plants.
In this area, I felt like very much an insider. Most all of my friends at that time were Mexican-American kids like me. We would go visit my grandfather just a block away at the little grocery store, the family grocery store.
The grocery store is now Matito's, a pink and purple Tex-Mex restaurant that plays energetic salsa music. Over a glass of iced tea, Villasana recalls what it was like for Spanish-speaking kids in the 60s who ventured beyond the boundaries of Little Mexico.
There were no Hispanic teachers or principals or anything like that, and a real resistance to us speaking Spanish in school, being punished for speaking Spanish. So I remember in my high school, when senior year, when college recruiters were coming in, the counselors were telling the recruiters that there was no kids at my high school that were college material.
Villasana's recollections of childhood discrimination outside Little Mexico are not that different from his parents, who are both around 80. His mother, Rella Alvarez, is Anglo and says she was disowned by her family when she married Saul's Mexican-American father. Saul's stepdad, Joe Alvarez, still remembers all the names he was called.
Bean Bandit, Tortilla Roller, Taco Bender.
And the teacher who destroyed his high school drawing project.
He'd look at the other white guys' drawings, and he would tell him what was wrong and what was right and how to fix it and everything. He said, phew.
He spit on your drawings.
He spit on my drawings and rubbed it in. I was 13 years at the time, and nobody had taught us what to expect.
Clearly, the scars of a half century ago have not completely healed. Rella and Joe Alvarez still don't vote. Joe says that when he was younger, he couldn't afford the $2 it costs to cast a ballot, the poll tax. And now, he just doesn't see the point.
To me, I think some of them are rigged.
Nevertheless, family members agree the increasing number of Texas Hispanics and decades of political change have created acceptance and opportunities beyond Little Mexico. The passage of the Civil Rights Act in 1964, the end of the poll tax, the growth of the Chicano Civil Rights Movement, and many court battles broke down barriers to education, voting, and upward mobility. Saul became a successful lawyer. He and his parents now live in the upscale suburb of Rockwall. Throughout Dallas, parks, streets, and schools bear the names Hernandez, Chavez, and Tamayo. In fact, a third generation in the family, 26-year-old Alejandro Martinez, feels very much in the mainstream of society.
I've been lucky enough, I guess, to not have ever felt discriminated against.
But in his job as a city prosecutor, Martinez does see what it must have been like for his parents and grandparents.
I could tell that I'm sympathetic almost to some of the people that come in here that are from Mexico, that maybe don't have a driver's license. You know, you're not allowed to get a driver's license unless you're a citizen. And then, so I feel sympathy for them. But then again, I also have to, do my job. That's probably the main thing that affects me right now, because I was raised with my dad, always tying back to my roots and remember where I came from.
It's those Mexican roots throughout Texas that seem to bind the families who've been here for more than a century to the families of recent immigrants settling into a new Little Mexico not far from Villasana's suburban home. In this new barrio, a Spanish-speaking man pushes a cart selling Mexican popsicles called paletas.
Oh, paletas, tengo paletas de sabores, fresa, vainilla, coco, arroz.
A woman named Maria, who cleans houses, says employers cheated her out of money because she's undocumented and scared to complain.
The people that had papers would make us work a lot more, their jobs, and for less money. We had to do it because if we didn't do it, then they would threaten us that they would call INS or deport us.
Salvia Sana believes Maria's opportunities, the opportunities he had, are just over the horizon. When Hispanics become the biggest ethnic group in Texas, he says they'll use their political clout to elect their own.
Some of the same problems that were existing when I was a kid exist now for immigrants. Substandard housing, issues with clean water, and issues of education. And I think if you have Hispanics elected to office, they're going to be much more quick to dealing with those issues.
Of course, that depends on many more Texas Hispanics, like Rella and Joe Alvarez, deciding it's worth their while to vote. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.